Good morning. The Grace Hour today concludes the series which began on the 2nd of October on the five doctrines that helped to define the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Today we will look at the doctrine of Soli Deo Gloria, which literally means to the glory of God alone. The idea of Soli Deo Gloria is all over the Bible. Perhaps the most succinct expression of this idea is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, which simply says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." In discussing whether or not a Christian should eat meat that was previously offered to idols, the Apostle Paul used that occasion to point Christians to what should be their purpose for living, that is, to give glory to God. The idea here is that no matter how mundane or how lofty our undertakings, we should ensure that whatever we do as Christians, it will indeed redound to the glory of God. To glorify God is to ascribe honor to Him. To glorify God is to affirm His worthiness of all praise and all honor and all dignity and all worship. The implication is that we must bring glory to God in how we relate to our spouses, how we relate to our children, how we relate to our employers, how we relate to our employees, how we relate to people in the community, how we relate to people in church, and how we relate to the state. Glorifying God has implications for how you relate to people with whom you have severe differences, how you relate to people with whom you have a grievance. Soli Deo Gloria has implications for the kinds of leisure activities and amusements and entertainment that Christians engage in. For that reason, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 should be our guide in bringing glory to God. The passage says, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Human beings were originally created to bring glory to God. We read in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 of the 24 elders praising God and saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure," that is, for thy glory, "they are and were created." The conflict between God and Satan is one about glory. The Bible teaches that our enemy, the devil, sought to rob God of his glory. That was the reason he was expelled from heaven. He did not give up, however, and he sought to take glory for himself by undermining the instructions God had given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Both God and Satan want glory, but only God deserves it and is worthy of it. The devil is determined to receive the glory belonging to God. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, that Satan even tempted Jesus to give him glory. We read, "Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Well, it is not just the devil that is seeking to rob God of his glory. The spiritual children of Adam also seek every day to rob God of his glory. Fallen mankind doesn't want God to be God. Fallen mankind does not want the Lord to get the glory that is due his name. Instead, fallen mankind wants to claim for itself the glory that belongs to God. We would do well to remember that God is jealous of his glory. We read in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, the Lord speaking, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. God has been known to severely chasten or kill people who seek to rob him of his glory. In Daniel chapter 4, we read how King Nebuchadnezzar, who was puffed up with his own self-importance at the expense of giving God the glory due to God, was made to eat grass for 7 years with the oxen. We read in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 to 23, So on a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, The voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. The truth is that fallen human beings have a tendency to hold on to glory that properly belongs to God. That is even true for Christians. That is why John the Baptist, in John chapter 3 and verse 30, said, Jesus must get all the glory. The words used by John the Baptist are well known. John said, He must increase, but I must decrease. The desire to increase in prominence and influence and fame and power comes easily to us, even those of us who know Christ. The glory battle is not just out there. It is in our hearts and minds. The problem is that individuals have a tendency that we must all guard against. The tendency is to want to increase and have God decrease. We commit sinful acts or fail to do what we should because our heart seeks its own glory. That was King Nebuchadnezzar's problem. He gloried in himself and did not glory in God. Hence, he is recorded as saying to himself in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? But friends, God must increase. Friends, the Lord Jesus must increase. And we human beings must decrease. When the church confesses Soli Deo Gloria, then we are calling ourselves and all the children of God to die to self and to live to Christ. The non-Christian, however, cannot put together a truly virtuous, righteous, God-honoring life. The reason for this is found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But through Christ, we are divinely equipped to live lives that bring glory to God. That was the Apostle Paul's point in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, when he said, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ is the key to a proper vision of God's glory. Christ is the key for a proper pursuit of the glory of God. Christ is the pathway for anyone to have a heart and mindset to give God the glory that is due to him. Believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the basis by which a person can be transformed from a self-centered glory seeker to become a person preoccupied with giving glory to God. The Reformation recovered the biblical truth that glorifying God should be the motivation for the life we live. But friends, nothing brings more glory to God than when a person surrenders one's life to Christ. Nothing brings more glory to God than when one repents of one's sins and turns to Christ for forgiveness of sins and to submit oneself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Today is a good day to surrender your life to the Lord. That would be the single most important thing a person could do to bring glory to God. Thereafter, one would have the benefit of God's grace, God's Holy Spirit, to grant spiritual empowerment so that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you can do all things to the glory of God. Soli Deo Gloria. May God continue to bless you greatly.